What's going on, everybody? Welcome back for another episode of Triggered. This is Triggered, episode number 531 here on Wednesday, September 11th, 2024. 55 days until Election Day, so we're inside of 2 months. Can't come
the
fast
final
enough.
Final stretch.
Yeah, can't come fast enough. So sick of this at this point. Let's just vote and get it over with. But anyway, the debate last night obviously was what everyone was looking forward to as a big inflection point in this race. I don't know that it'll end up being one for a number of reasons. Yeah. But first off, the ABC moderators were a disgrace. It was three versus one up there last night. It was election interference,
if you ask me.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. It was three versus one up there last night. And so, you know, I don't know why we expected to get a fair shake from them. It was really just a disgrace. They were by far the worst moderators of a presidential debate I've ever seen. Worse than Candy Crowley.
I thought that was like the unbeatable record was at Candy Crowley.
But he got ridiculous questions. I mean, the questions were, President Trump, you said this, this, and this. Why are you such a piece of shit?
Yeah.
He would answer pretty decent answers. Yeah. We'll talk more about it. But then it would turn to Vice President Harris. Vice President Harris, why is President Trump such a piece of shit?
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, it's fucking insane to me. And, you know, we should have seen this coming. We never should have expected to get a fair shake, especially because apparently the woman in charge of the ABC News division is close personal friends with Kamala Harris.
Oh, shocker.
And is a Dem super donor.
Shocker.
David Muir, I thought he would have been fair. What a disgrace. The other bitch that was there, I don't even know her name. She was a fucking disgrace.
Lindsay Davis?
You know, it's impossible to win, air quote, win, when it's 3v1 in the ring. Yeah. However, I thought that President Trump had a few moments of bad, but also had quite a few moments of good.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at the the snap polls they do afterwards, obviously they have the focus groups that do the live tracking, you know, those charts.
Yeah.
Trump scored actually pretty well.
Yeah.
And so the CNN poll was the only one that really showed a, quote, lopsided Kamala victory. And even that was less of a victory than Hillary Clinton had over Trump in the 2016 debates. But if you dig into the CNN poll, there's some very interesting tidbits in there, like the fact that Trump support, the voter's choice on the economy.
Oh, yeah, he went up.
He went up.
Yeah.
I think you wrote about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so that's very interesting to me. That tells me that he won on the actual substance of his economic plan, which, of course, he's the only one who has a plan. But also, I thought that Kamala failed heavily on the visuals because she was being sassy as hell the whole time, making faces. And I think that turned the independents off. And if you look at the focus groups done with independent voters, about 60% of them say they're now leaning towards Trump.
Yeah.
So it could have actually been a net gain. I think it's more status quo, which the status quo of the race lended to
leans
us
Trump
being in the lead.
Leans Trump.
Yeah. I mean, what do you think?
I wanted this to be a decisive win for
him. But
3-on-1, hard to do.
Exactly.
Hard to do.
Yeah.
So I think in terms of the
and
30,
I think that might have been an unrealistic expectation, honestly, because for them the bar was set at if Kamala is not dead and has a pulse on stage,
true,
they were going to say she won.
Let's say she imploded and became a barrel of word salad.
Mm-hmm.
Those two couldn't save her. The moderators couldn't save her. That's the thing, though.
Yeah.
So I think 30,000 foot view, I think it was a missed opportunity for him to deliver the knockout blow and basically torture Democrats for the next 55 days, knowing that they're going to lose this race. But if all, you know, the end of this was a status quo win, fine. I'll take it to the bank. And apparently Trump wants to do another debate with Fox, although he doesn't want that Brett Baer as the moderator.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, you know, there's a lot of anything with Trump, there's nuance here because the media is going to spin that CNN snap poll, who won, the 67-35.
And they were always going to say she won
about it, or something like that. They're already going to slobber over that. But like you said, you know, she was already, I mean, it was already horrible. Trust in handling the economy was 37% going into the debate. It went dropped to 35 coming out. You have Arizona voters saying, no, you know, she's killed people here. She's allowed all these illegals in. They're killing people here. You have one woman saying, in the CNN focus group, by the way, she was like, you have to look at how your life was between 4 years ago under, you know, Biden and 4 years with Trump. And she's like, my life was much better under President Trump. New York Times, undecided voters, their focus group, I think 63% of their respondents were leaning Trump. Yep. So I actually think he actually had some very good... I think his answer, his response on abortion, for example, which is where Harris was going to lay the trap, the first trap, I think he laid out a very good answer that was nuanced regarding federalism, regarding the question. I think it kind of he kind of went off message because Kamala and the moderators kept it on abortion for way too long.
Yeah, which is... But, that's another problem I had with it, with the topic selection.
Yeah.
You know, they spent 30 minutes out of a 90-minute debate on abortion on January 6th.
Yeah.
It was basically...
And the 2020 election?
Yes, yeah.
That veered into
it. It was basically the liberal greatest hits against President Trump.
Yeah.
And in the segments where they actually talked about the issues that matter, such as the economy and foreign policy and things
like that. Okay, let's move on.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's move on.
When he brought up the fact that he got shot less than 2 months ago, we have to move on.
We have to move on.
Yeah.
I also think that... but she did well. You know, he fell for the bait, took the bait on the rally size and stuff like that, which
is always going to happen. Which is always going to happen. You're never going to get Trump not to do that.
It's unfortunate because on the immigration issue, David Muir actually did ask a good question about her as borders are, which apparently was a myth, right? She doesn't answer the question. It's a scripted non-answer. He could have been, I mean, the wide berth was there to just destroy her for being a failure on this issue, which is a top issue among voters. And then he had to, you know, re-debate and re-litigate other stuff about the rally sizes and stuff like that. That's what I mean by missed opportunities. But
yeah, but also if you go back to the June 27th debate, if you go back to what I said after that debate, it was the same thing that, you know, Trump left a lot of points on the field in that he could have hit a lot harder.
But Biden was already like a half.
Yeah, he was already dead. So that was already different.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, that's just how Trump works, right? His brain is a stream of consciousness. Yeah. It's not a pre-scripted, oh, we're going to hit bullet point. And so, but the thing that really interested me is that...
He can be, though.
Yeah, not as much.
Anything, I think he actually is pretty good when he does that sometimes.
Yeah.
In his own way.
It's just not his style.
Yeah.
And I think that what really stood out to me is how rehearsed and canned Kamala came across, which leads me to my next point.
Oh.
I believe...
She was fed the questions.
She got the questions.
Yeah.
It was too scripted.
Yeah.
And is it really in doubt, given what we saw the moderators do last night, that some lib at ABC didn't leak the questions to her?
Donna Brazile did it.
Yeah.
And then, you know, we find out with Hillary Clinton, I think she got another set of debate questions. So. Yeah.
So, you know, I thought Trump had a lot of good moments. He did well on the economy segment, rated through the roof with independents on that one.
Yeah.
I love how he reversed the quiet please.
Yes.
I'm talking. You remember that one?
Yeah, she was visibly flustered with that one.
Yeah, if you don't mind, please. Yeah. Does that sound familiar?
Quiet.
you know, he I thought did decently well. I agree with you that there's some missed opportunities there, but at the end of the day, I don't really see this debate changing too much. She didn't answer anything clearly.
They didn't press her about her campaign being open to an arms embargo with Israel. Now,
well, not only that, she didn't get pressed at all on her flip-flops.
Yeah, that too. On fracking especially.
And
nothing.
voters in the focus groups afterwards said that.
Yeah.
She didn't explain how her position has just changed overnight on all this stuff.
On not just one or two issues, but like her entire public persona has flipped overnight. And you have Bernie Sanders, who kind of said the quiet part out loud Sunday, being like, she's just trying to win the election. Basically, she's just trying to win the election.
Yeah.
So, like, why aren't you asking her about that stuff? Yeah.
Nope. And, of course, no fact checks on Kamala by the biased debate moderators. And I think 3 out of the 4 on Trump were fake.
Yeah.
Wrong. Yeah. Totally wrong.
The one on abortion was wrong.
Yeah.
About executing babies. Mm-hmm. Ralph Northam said it on a radio interview. There's like 12 states
that
allow... And we
covered that extensively.
I mean, before we all went into the bunker, New York became what? Like the 12th state to allow abortions in the 9th month.
Yep.
So, what is that?
Yeah, no. It's ridiculous, and I think people saw that too, which was very interesting.
I hope people saw also the question about Kamala's race.
Yeah.
Oh, like that right there.
Well, that
like,
just fits in the mold of, you said this thing, why are you such a piece of shit?
Yeah.
So
I don't care. I thought Trump's response was good.
So in the immediate aftermath of the debate, you can usually tell by the way people are behaving whether they thought they won or lost.
Yeah.
Trump's always going to say he won. That's just how it goes.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of polls out there, you know, audience polls, showed that they believe either it was a tie or that he won. Not the CNN poll. That's basically like the one outstanding one. Mm-hmm. Shocker. Kamala's camp immediately comes out afterwards and calls for a second debate. And they also drop the Taylor Swift endorsement right afterwards.
Yeah.
Which to me screams of desperation on both fronts. Because if you did so well...
Why do you need another one?
Well, not only that... I'm going to play a clip of what Trump said, and I agree with what Trump said on this. But if you did so well, you would wait and let that news cycle marinate and then hit it with the Taylor Swift endorsement.
Yeah.
I mean, that's obviously coordinated. Come on. So, but take a listen to what Trump had to say about them claiming they won a second debate.
Why won't you commit to a second debate with Kamala Harris if you believe...
She wants a second debate because she lost tonight very badly. So they immediately called for a second debate because they lost.
I mean, and he's right. And then further on that subject, my opinion of this is he doesn't have really a whole lot to gain from a second debate with her. And the only case he should agree to this whatsoever is if it's on Fox News.
I agree.
No more liberal networks.
Yeah.
We're done with this. We can't get a fair shake at all. We should have learned our lesson before. We tried it again. I think we got lulled into a false sense of security because of what happened in the CNN debate. And there was probably ulterior motives there.
And also, David Muir is not one who, like, pops out as being, like, you know, overly horrible.
No, but you would have thought that he was, part of the
DNC
progressive caucus.
Spokesperson. Yeah, exactly. I know. Yeah. It was ridiculous out there.
A couple clips here of voters in focus groups post-debate. Take a listen to this undecided voter.
It was actually going to make our country better, and we're in an incredibly unique situation where we've had both of the candidates in office before, and we've gotten to see what they would do. And when facts come to facts, my life was better when Trump was in office. The economy was higher, inflation was lower, things were better overall, and now with Kamala's administration, things haven't been so fantastic. And she's saying she can fix the problems that her administration has caused, but I just don't know if I can afford to take that risk.
Life was better under Trump.
Yeah.
And that goes back to Kamala's non-answer on, what do you say to the Americans, are you better off than you were 4 years ago?
You know, no answer. Storm, I was a prosecutor.
Yeah.
I grew up in a middle-class family.
She was a prostitute, which is also a lie. She didn't grow up in a middle-class family. Yeah.
I know.
She didn't work at McDonald's either. Don't forget that one.
That's true. I love how that was a key part of her narrative for like 2 weeks.
On the DNC,
And
every single speaker
said it. And then the Free
it.
Beacon did put it under the microscope, and it vanished.
Every single speaker at the DNC said that. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
She worked at McDonald's, and then she was like, she was a, cashier, and then I moved on to fries.
Mm-hmm. And then even a reporter here calling out Kamala Harris for not answering the question about being better off now than 4 years ago. Take a listen.
Vice President Harris was asked if she believes Americans are better off now than they were 4 years ago. And frankly, as you pointed out, she didn't answer the question. She instead pivoted to talk about, in broad brushstrokes, some of the policies that she's highlighting: small business tax credits, down payment assistance for home buyers, an expanded child tax credit.
And then, of course, right after the debate, Kamala flees off to a fundraiser. No questions from the media whatsoever. Trump goes and spends a half hour in the spin room.
Yeah, I think that was an excellent move.
Does an impromptu press conference, sits for a 10-minute interview on Hannity. I mean, you know, the reporters here that are covering up the fact that she doesn't take questions or do interviews or press conferences ever, obviously are just trying to get her elected.
Yeah.
I want to play a clip for you here that I thought was particularly on point last night, and this is from Megyn Kelly. So Megyn Kelly was incensed by the debate moderators last night. She was a debate moderator herself. We all know the moment, right? And the fact that she is so, you know, I don't want to say on our side, but so, like, clearly...
she was furious, man.
Yeah, furious about this, I think lends more credibility to it. Take a listen to what she had to say here in the last, I think it's about 30 seconds of this clip. The longer clip's 4 minutes, which you can find out there anywhere, but take a listen to this.
The worst piece of all of this is the obvious tactic by ABC News, which was as follows. Mr. Trump, you said something incredibly controversial and terrible. Let me remind you of what it was. Do you have any regrets or thoughts on how terrible you were? Trump answers. Vice President Harris, how bad is Trump? And then she'd answer. It happened over and over again. That was the format. Mr. Trump, you're a piece of shit. Kamala Harris, isn't he a shit? Thank you. It was incredible. And then anything Trump said, fact check, fact check, fact check. And their fact checks were full of shit. I'm swearing even more than normal right now because I'm mad. I'm angry. I'm angry at them, at ABC, at my industry that I want nothing to do with. And I've never been happier to be outside and be able to say how I truly feel. And yes, even with some colorful words, because that's what the situation calls for. They're trying to steal this election. They're openly working to sink him.
And if that's how she feels, then I believe it's, you know, our duty to also echo that they are trying to steal the election right in front of us.
Yeah.
They are openly arms of the Democrats now in all of the media except for conservative media. Yeah. We are the only ones telling the truth, right?
I mean, Tim Walz and Nicole Sullivan said the quiet part out loud about that.
Yeah.
They essentially thanked them in their post-debate segments last night. Like, oh, we need to thank them for that.
We need to figure out how to not let this happen again, and I don't even know what we can do about it, but it is clearer than day at this point now that the left wing and the liberal media says things that are clearly happening are not happening.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Violent gangs taking over buildings in American cities of illegals from foreign countries.
It's happening.
They say that's not happening.
It's happening.
It's a fact.
Haitians chopping up animals and eating them.
Well,
it's
happening.
I mean, it's happening. We got police recordings.
I think it's happening.
It's happening.
You know.
It's not the cats. Maybe we still got to figure out the cats.
Yeah.
But when it comes to geese and the ducks, they chopping them up.
But there's animals disappearing.
Yeah, they are.
So, like,
this ain't the movie Pets from Pixar.
And either
they're
way,
just walking away.
Either way, what the fuck are 20,000 Haitians doing anyway in Ohio?
I know.
That we paid to bring in, that fly in.
One of them killed an elderly person, I believe.
I saw that. Yeah, I saw that.
A town meeting, driving recklessly, killed a person.
There's been numerous Americans killed there by illegals. Well, not illegals.
Yeah.
They're legal because they have temporary protective status flown in by the Biden administration.
Oh, so it's okay that they're doing all this stuff because they're legal.
That's what someone said. But yeah, it's just, you know, it's crazy.
Gone are the days, and I'm kind of dating myself here, but, you know, he wasn't the best. But, you know, the late Jim Lehrer on PBS, that was a fair debate between Bush and Trump, Bush and Gore and Bush and Kerry. You know, Gwen Ifill kind of killed that streak for PBS because, you know, the late
Gwen politics Ifill, changed with Obama.
Yeah.
And, you know, Candy Crowley and then the moderates. The left wing.
I'm not going to let Mitt Romney talk.
The liberal media now just feels so empowered to be so brazen and open about their clear bias.
Well, Storm, they're firefighters. They're like the first responders.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah, they're
first responders. Yep. So they're the protectors of liberty and free speech. And if you dare attack us, oh my God.
It's sick.
You're a dictator.
It really is sick.
Who would you think that's not one of us that could do this? That not, you know, could be trusted with not, you know, sandbagging us with these bullshit questions.
Well, you know,
I can't think of anybody.
Trump today said that he would potentially consider a Fox News debate, but that he wouldn't accept Brett Baer and Martha McCallum as the moderators, which, you know, I get where he's going with that, but I think that they could be fair.
Yeah.
You know, they're not going to be as biased to our side as we would like how they got last night with Muir. But we'll see. I honestly don't think a second debate's going to happen. I don't know that he has a real whole lot to gain from it, and I think that that's the conventional thinking among the campaign right now.
Greg Gutfeld moderating would be fun.
Oh, my God. Yeah. And so, the VP debate's confirmed. That's on October 1st, so I think that's going to happen regardless. But at a minimum, I don't think the September 25th NBC debate's going to happen. There may be a Fox News debate in October sometime. We'll see. But, yeah, I really don't think he has a whole lot to gain from that, so I wouldn't do that. But that's just me.
Yeah.
So I'm not in charge of the campaign, unfortunately. So, of course, today, being September 11th, is the 23rd anniversary of the terror attacks of September 11, 2001. You know, I wanted to take some time to talk about this and remember all the victims that died that day, because I think that, you know, we as a country have a duty to always remember what happened that day. I mean, the line was never forget, right?
Yeah.
And I think that kind of we as a country, a lot of people, not necessarily me or a lot of people listening to this podcast, because everybody that listens to this is a patriot, but the country overall, I feel like, has forgotten. They forgot the absolute horror of that day, what happened to this country, who attacked us. And, you know, I saw a tweet this morning that I thought was really, really good. It said, can you imagine going back in time to, you know, October 2001?
Yeah.
And telling Americans that we're going to willfully import 25 million illegals peppered with terrorists, known terrorists, into the country.
Yeah.
You think that would have been accepted then?
No, your career would have been destroyed.
And it shouldn't be accepted now. And it is what's happening in this country. And I really do fear that someday, you know, the Biden administration and the Biden-Harris administration is seeding the next 9/11.
I mean, they allowed all the terrorists in when they, the Afghan airlift.
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
yeah.
What I'm trying to say, like, that alone. I mean, I know there's been dozens that have crossed illegally with the Mexicans and the Chinese and all the migrants, but illegal aliens. But we literally gave them military transports into this country.
Yeah, yeah.
And they were not vetted. And these people wait. They plan for years. 9/11 took years to plan. And they're here.
Oh, 100%.
They're here.
100%.
With benefits, housing, everything.
Yep. But yeah, so I think that, you know, it's important to take time today to remember. I was very happy to see that President Trump went to New York for the memorial ceremony down at the World Trade Center. Also there was Kamala Harris, Joe Biden, Rudy Giuliani, Michael Bloomberg, other New York politicians, all being cordial with each other, which I thought was a nice thing to see. Kamala and Trump shaking hands. You know, I think that's important that, yeah, we can fight it out and duke it out. But at the end of the day, you know, a lot of people like to talk about the spirit of 9/12, right? Mm-hmm. The day after the attacks, everyone came together as Americans and, you know, came together to fight back against a common enemy. And so, you know, it'd be nice to see some of that kind of spirit return to America. Unfortunately, I'm not sure that we'll ever get back to that.
Well, unfortunately, the Democratic Party has now become the party of pro-Islamic terrorism.
Yes, yeah.
You know, so.
And, you know, I was reminded on X today, videos of Palestinians celebrating in the streets.
Oh, yeah, throwing out candy.
On 9/11, yep. Very reminiscent of October 7th.
Yeah.
Never forget that those people want all of you dead.
Yes.
And shouldn't be given a shred of empathy for what's happening over there.
But, Storm, those damn Jews.
Well, yeah.
Those damn Israelis, you know, killing them and committing genocide and taking their organs.
Yeah, it's really sick.
For those who don't know, there's a conspiracy theory that Israelis kidnap Palestinians and harvest their organs. That's another anti-Semitic trope.
I wouldn't care if they would. But, but you know, one thing that really struck me recently is that, you know, even kids that are going into college now.
Oh, they were.
Born after 9/11. They're learning about this from a history book. We lived through it.
Yes.
I mean, you're older than me, but I was only 8.
Yeah, you were there.
But I remember that day vividly. It's one of my first, like, real memories of something major happening.
Yeah.
You know, I remember, you know, I was just, when we were I was driving in this morning, I was telling somebody, I'm like, you know, this day, the blue sky, the cool fall morning reminds me of that day.
Yeah.
I don't know why I remember that, but it's just so vivid in my memory. You know, I remember getting pulled out of school. My mom came and got me out of school right after the towers were hit.
Yeah.
I remember getting back home and watching the towers fall on TV.
Yeah.
I mean, you in North Jersey, you could see the smoke.
You could see the smoke, man.
I'm sure people in your town died.
Yes.
Same for me.
Yep.
You know, I think that that's a little more...
it's burned into our memories.
Yes.
Forever.
Yeah. And so now there's this youth generation in America who didn't live through that, and they learn of it from a history book.
That's absolutely biased and kind of makes excuses for the terrorists.
Yeah.
In some cases, especially in the higher academic institutions, that it was our fault, essentially.
Yeah,
that we brought. And, you know, and frankly, even at that time, there were some wacko academics who, you know, like Ward Churchill, who said that the building was filled with little Eichmanns and that it deserved to go down, you know, stuff like that. But now it's like become... That was considered, you know, fringe.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's like
it's mainstream.
Now it's mainstream liberal thought.
Yeah, and so, you know, our good friend Spencer wrote a column today for Town Hall about why it's our duty as those who lived through that day to, you know, educate the youth on what it was like and to remember it every year and to keep the remembrance going. You know, and particularly about the heroes of that day, because there were so many of them, whether it be in New York at the Trade Center, down at the Pentagon, or on Flight 93, which Flight 93 is, I think, one of the, you know, most American stories there is. Todd Beamer, Let's Roll. Them, the passengers banding together to overpower the terrorists and make sure that that plane didn't reach its destination, which we don't really truly know the destination, but it's was coming to D.C., essentially. The trajectory, we had, they had put the terrorists in place on bring it back to D.C. It was either going to be the Capitol or the White House. Most think it's the Capitol. There's a memorial in the Capitol to Flight 93. But, you know, that's a hero. You look at up in New York, I was just reading the story of Rick Rescorla, who was the head of security for Morgan Stanley, on the upper floors of the South Tower above the impact zone. But because he was there for the 93 bombing, he always thought that they were going to come back and try again. So he always ran security drills with his 3,000 Morgan Stanley employees that they had there. And I think on that day, 2,700 were present. He guided all but six out.
Wow.
Down the stairwell. And because of the training that he had instilled in them, they all made it out of that building. And he went back up to try to find the remaining few and never made it out. But, you know, those are the American heroes every day. The firefighters who ran up those towers never to return again. You know, you have the firefighters who were stuck in traffic who jumped off the truck and ran into the towers. The NYPD, I mean, it's really, you know, crazy stuff that's like the American spirit. Today, we seem to have lost that, but you still have all the first responders out there who put their lives on the line every day. And I have no doubt that if something like that were to happen again, they totally would do it. But, like, people seem to forget that. This morning, Fox was the only station doing full remembrance ceremonies. CNN and MSNBC jumped in for the moments of silence, which, you know, I appreciate, but, like, it seems to be fading, and I hate to see that happen. But, you know, as the people who lived through it, you know, I think it's our duty to make sure that people don't just gloss over it. And also don't gloss over the fact that on September 11th, 2012, four of our Americans were murdered in Benghazi.
Oh.
Because of Hillary Clinton.
Yeah.
That was 9/11, you know, a YouTube video. So, you know, it's always a sad day, but I think it's our duty to remember it. And especially given recent news where they tried to let the 9/11 mastermind off, essentially, through a plea deal. And so this morning at the remembrance ceremony in New York, you know, one of always, I think, the saddest things is the families come up and they read the names and they tell their personal stories. Yeah, it's always very sad.
Yeah.
But a widow of a 9/11 fire chief who was killed that day in the towers had this to say about that potential plea deal and Joe Biden.
My husband of 30 years was one of them. It is outrageous that our government would ever entertain the thought of granting the terrorists a plea deal. If not for the outcry of the 9/11 community, who knows what might have transpired. It has been 23 years, and the families deserve justice and accountability. The elected officials here today show their respect and reverence to the families on September 11th. Or, in our president's words, do 9/11. Quite a flippant remark. But please remember that the September 11th families live it every day, not just on the anniversary.
And that was in reference to what Biden said yesterday. Take a listen to this.
I'm going up to my granddaughter's birthday in New York. Then we're going to watch the debate. And then tomorrow I'm doing 9/11.
I mean, how ridiculous.
I know.
What a disgrace.
I know.
What a disgrace.
It's horrible.
And so, yeah, well, originally from what I heard, Biden and Harris weren't going to be going to New York.
Oh.
But when they heard that Trump was, they quickly changed
their plans. Well, they didn't want to have the Arlington Cemetery issue.
Yeah, yep.
They weren't going to go?
That's what I heard. I heard they were going to the Pentagon. But yeah, so we'll see what happens. So yeah, don't I know that nobody listening to this podcast will ever forget that day, but don't, you know, let the others growing up in this country who didn't experience it, and you know, I mean, the country changed forever that day.
Yeah.
Still, I mean, you know, there's still effects of it, and I worry that we're rapidly hurtling towards another terrible event like that, but hopefully President Trump can come in and stop that, that's for sure. All right, let's switch gears here to victims of illegal immigrant crime, because we're told there's no problem. This doesn't happen. Yeah. This is all a figment of imagination of the vast right-wing conspiracy, right?
Oh, yeah.
That's what they say.
Yeah. Oh, well, or it's illegal aliens are less likely to commit crimes than citizens.
Which is also a lie.
Which is a lie.
Yeah. There was a House Judiciary Committee hearing on Tuesday, and some victims of illegal immigrant crime were there to testify to Congress. Of course, the Democrats on the committee didn't bother to show up. But take a listen to one of these.
It's insulting that you would say that to these families, that you would make an assumption that they're being used or exploited in any way. You know, what I will do is I'll give you my number. It's 281-673-0736. And I'd like a phone call from you to see what you can do to help these families, because every single week I get bombarded with calls from victims all over the United States, but I'm just a small person with a small foundation that helps people here locally in Houston and Harris County. Not one time when her daughter was murdered and I was helping her navigate the criminal justice system did one Democrat call me to offer their assistance. It was only Republicans, and I am an independent. I vote both ways.
I'm so happy, it's insulting.
No, please don't speak over me, because I'm still talking.
I'm not done. I have the mic. I have the floor.
If you want to answer me, you ask.
The chair has the time, and the witness is allowed to respond.
So I'm asking, you said some very broad statements. It's insulting. These people lost loved ones. They lost children. And we want to see a difference. We may not understand everything that's going on, but I assure you that we're not being used in any way. And if today somebody calls that number that wants to help from any side of the aisle, we want solutions.
Don't make an assumption
that we're being used. That is insulting.
The time belongs to the chair. The chair now
yields. Insulting.
The chair yields the remainder of his time to the gentleman from Texas.
And this was after Democrat Veronica Escobar claimed Republicans were, quote, exploiting people's pain. I mean,
well, that's how you know we got them.
Yeah.
On a political side.
But it's also in the same vein of the Afghanistan 13.
Yeah.
Right? You're exploiting these Gold Star families for political purposes. No, we're just telling their stories.
Yeah.
We're the ones that are telling their stories. You want it hidden.
And
right?
It's the families of the Gold Star 13 that are like saying, fuck off.
Yeah.
Like.
Yep.
We invited both Harris and Trump to be here. And Biden. And none of them showed. Except for Trump.
Yep. MS-13 gang member in the country illegally was allowed to attend a Maryland public school while he was the primary suspect in a murder.
What?
Yep. Yep. Also, he did the murder.
Great system.
Yeah.
Great system.
Where
are you at, Governor Westmore?
Here in Virginia, a suspect was arrested for allegedly abducting a teen girl walking to a bus stop and impersonating a police officer. What a shock. A Peruvian illegal alien who was caught at the border last December and then released into the United States. Joe Biden releasing pedophiles who abduct teen girls. Yeah. Out in Colorado, we've talked about what happened in Aurora, Colorado, with a violent gang from Venezuela taking over a apartment complex. There's a reporting now that four illegal immigrants and gang members who were arrested with a murder were all encountered, quote, vetted and released at the southern border under the Biden-Harris administration.
Great.
And this is the Tren de Aragua. I don't know if I'm saying that right. Tren de Aragua. This gang is actually worse than MS-13.
What?
And they have vowed to assassinate police officers in the United States. There was a warning that came out of DHS a couple weeks ago that said that they have declared open season on cops in the United States.
Oh, great.
And by the way, murders of police officers, since we're talking about first responders today, through the roof.
Yeah.
through the roof.
But since no one reports on crime stats anymore, you would never know.
Oh, that was one of the worst fact checks last night.
Yeah.
You know, well, violent crime's actually down in America, Trump. No.
People just stopped reporting it.
Yeah, they stopped reporting it to the centralized FBI system.
Yeah.
The data is incomplete.
Yeah.
If you reported that, crime's way up.
Yep.
And if you look at all states put together, there's only 3 states that crime is down in. So you tell me how that happens. Yeah. Riddle me this. Because people put together all the individual state data from the state reporting agencies, which is what the FBI is supposed to be doing, but they're currently not.
Well, they're too busy, you know, running interference on protecting Joe Biden and...
Yeah, Russia.
Trying to find Trump on shit.
Yep. And yeah, so, you know, time after time here, we have illegals killing Americans, raping them, abducting them.
Kidnapping.
Yeah.
Driving recklessly, running them over.
Oh, yeah, getting in car accidents with no insurance, killing them. Yeah, yeah. It's really
a big... Kamala Harris did that, apparently, too.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, reportedly. Allegedly.
Allegedly. Yeah.
For the lawyer. That's for the lawyers, allegedly. Yeah.
But I believe it.
I think that might have happened.
Yeah. Okay, so a few things here on national security. So, speaking of terror attacks, last week, an ISIS-affiliated, I guess.
Yeah.
Terror plot was foiled.
Yeah.
A man, of course, take a guess at the name, Muhammad, Pakistani, living in Canada, planned to enter the United States and attack a Jewish center in New York City.
Yeah.
On October 7th.
Yep.
And he boasted that if successful, this attack would have been the largest on American soil since 9/11.
Yeah.
You know, this is just one we heard of. There's numerous plots foiled that we never hear of, you know, and so hopefully we never actually have something happen, but
that's what's going to be. Listen, I'm not saying that they're not going to be able to hijack airplanes, right? I just think that there are now enough security measures to prevent that type of, you know, coordinated attack.
Yeah.
But a Bataclan Mm-hmm. type style, you know, attack, you know, mass shootings, you know, death squads roaming, you know, cities and stuff, mm-hmm. that could absolutely happen.
Yeah, oh,
and
for
it
sure.
can kill hundreds, so...
Yep.
And there's really nothing you can do about that.
Yeah. No, I know. It's,
you know...
Not good.
Certainly not good when you import, you know, hundreds of thousands of Afghans you don't vet, but okay.
Let's see. I don't want to talk about Ukraine because I don't need that today. Let's talk about the spending showdown up on Capitol Hill because we've been talking about this a little bit.
Who's ready for a shutdown?
Well, I wish, but Mike Johnson this morning decided to cut our own dick off and say that we will not shut down the government under any circumstances. Yeah. Bet you missed that one. That was like a couple hours
ago. Because I saw there was a... Oh, I forget his name. He's the chair of the... Yeah, no, sorry.
Well,
I thought there was a rebellion forming.
Here's the lay of the land.
Some conservatives are like, we're not going to do any more of this bullshit. So,
well, here's the lay of the land. So, we talked about the multiple different things that are going on, right?
Yeah.
You have a fight over whether the SAVE Act gets into the bill, right? Which the SAVE Act is the law or the bill that would be to keep illegal aliens from voting in the country.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll circle back to that in a second. The second debate is over the length of the CR, right? The reason being, the uniparty fucks want a 3-month CR. You know why? So that way they can come back right after Thanksgiving in a lame duck Congress and pass a massive fucking multi-trillion-dollar omnibus chock full of spending porn, as Senator Kennedy would say. That's exactly what he'd say.
Yeah.
So that's what they want, right? The real conservatives want a 6-month CR. So that way it could get us into the new Congress, and they have about 2 months of new Congress to get together and pass an actual budget under the new, hopefully, President Trump, right? But the Mitch McConnell types want a full year budget that they're going to pass in December, so that way it'll stop President Trump from having any control over the federal budget until December of next year.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. I mean, that's what this is. And it's the same thing that Mitch McConnell did before.
Well, it's to protect the Ukraine money.
Yeah. Yep. It's exactly
what
it is.
So
that's the overall debate. All right, going back to the SAVE Act here.
Yeah.
The SAVE Act, while a noble mission, right, to stop illegal aliens from voting in this country. Of course, we should be doing that. The Democrats say no illegals vote, even though there's rampant evidence of that
there
happening.
There are thousands on the voter rolls. You see all
but
these
not only that,
stories?
There's proof that those people voted.
Yeah.
In Texas.
Yeah.
I think they took 6,500 illegals off the voter rolls, and there's proof that at least 1,800 of them actually voted before.
Yeah.
So, yeah, no, it's not happening.
Yeah, it doesn't happen.
But the thing is, even if the Fed passes the SAVE Act at this point, it won't have time to be actually implemented at all.
Yeah.
And I think, well, it may have been Ted Cruz on TV said this yesterday, is that we dropped the ball on this because the leadership decided that they didn't want to try to undertake this, you know, earlier.
Yeah.
So, you know, while I'd love to have it in there, and it should certainly be in there, I don't think it's going to have any effect whatsoever on this election.
No, not – I mean, like you said, like 55 days? You can,
yeah.
I mean, this is a massive – the bills, it's a massive undertaking.
So to me, it's more of a messaging thing, and sure, that's great. I totally agree with
yeah.
it. But the bigger thing for me is the length of this, because you cannot let a lame duck uniparty Congress come back and fuck us up the ass
yeah.
for $4 trillion worth of extra spending. You just – can't have that happen, especially if President Trump wins the election.
Well, yes, that, I mean, even more so. It's yeah. going against the will of the voters.
Yeah.
I've always kind of found lame duck stuff to be a little...
Oh, you think?
A little finicky.
Yeah, because we know what they jam in there.
We know what they jam in there. Yeah, exactly. But it's just like... I know before it was kind of like, you know, eh, whatever the fuck. But now it's
no, this
like...
this one's important.
Now, you know, with the state of things, you got to watch these people.
And it
because
seemed...
Because they slip things in the dead of night.
It seemed that we were heading towards a potential shutdown.
Yeah.
But now Mike Johnson this morning goes full cuck on us and is like, meh, nah, we're not going to shut the government down.
Oh.
Basically removing any leverage we had whatsoever. I mean, did this guy fall out of a fucking retard tree?
I mean, maybe we shouldn't have been shocked when he did that 180 on Pfizer renewal.
You think?
Right?
I've seen this fucking guy from the beginning.
I know. We're not going to do the fight. And then 36 hours later, oh, we're going to renew Pfizer.
I've seen through this guy from the beginning, and I'll tell you what. If we keep the House in the next Congress...
Oh, he's got
to
go.
He has to go.
He's got to go.
Has to go. I don't know who's going to replace him, but,
Matt Gaetz.
We went from Kevin McCarthy, who everyone had issues with...
And there were issues.
And there were certainly issues. I have no Kevin McCarthy.
Yeah.
Super fan or apologist. Anybody who listens to this
yeah.
knows. But he was a better speaker than Mike Johnson.
Oh, yes.
He was better at
yes.
logistics, at whipping the votes... He was better at the procedures on the floor, you know.
And filling the party coffers.
It was, yes, yeah.
Which was, it's essential.
It was rare you had a bill come to the floor without knowing that it was going to pass.
Yeah.
Yet under Mike Johnson, we've had several rules votes fail because he failed to properly whip the votes.
Yeah.
And his whip, Emmer, is a certified retard.
Yeah, it's not good.
That guy sucks.
It's not good up there.
I mean, how do we consistently have such bad Republican leadership on the Hill? And I'll tell you why.
Well, I think
because
yeah.
anybody who would be a good leader
wants to stay away from the circus.
Well, that also, but would never be able to actually get the votes of the uniparty core that they need.
Yeah.
Right?
Probably.
You look at the House, we have a number of great conservatives up there that I think would be awesome. You know, we look at when Jim Jordan ran for speaker.
Yeah.
Jim Jordan would blow Johnson out of the water.
Oh, now, yeah.
I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Right? But the establishment wouldn't have that. They'll
no.
never allow that.
No.
Right? They'll never allow someone actually conservative to govern that spot. And that's been a consistent problem for us. I think McCarthy was actually the most conservative
yeah.
speaker we had. Obviously, not including
yeah.
Newt Gingrich.
Newt's yeah.
the king, always will be. But
Dennis Hastert was pretty good.
Except for when he raped those little boys.
I'm talking.
You talking policy?
I'm talking when he was
yeah.
before
yeah.
all that
no,
came
I know,
out,
I know.
And when he was speaker, yeah. he got the Bush tax cuts through. He got all the good stuff.
Yeah, but
through.
They also passed a lot of bad Bush shit too. So,
yeah. The Medicare Part D prescription benefit.
Yeah,
yeah
and
okay,
a whole bunch
I
of
hear.
Other immigration
yeah,
bullshit.
Yeah, I know.
So,
okay,
anyway,
fair point.
Yeah. Newt's always number, but I, you know, if you look at Kevin McCarthy's tenure. Generally pretty conservative.
It,
sure, they
yeah.
passed CRs that we didn't agree with and stuff like that. But, you know, the grass isn't always greener on the other side, and I think we found that out significantly with great Speaker Mike Johnson we have here. And then you look at the Senate, right? Mitch McConnell's going. He's done as being leader once his Congress is over, which is why he wants to pass this uniparty bullshit, by the way.
It's his swan song.
Yeah. Just like McCain fucking us at the last second on
Obamacare. Oh, thumbs down? Yeah. Oh, my God.
And so the Senate, you have three, I think maybe four candidates for the job. One, I believe, is Thune, who's okay at best. Kind of a Mitch McConnell protege, if you will. Cornyn, who's a fucking disaster. No, I don't think he has a shot.
He tried to take the guns away, so no.
Then the conservative candidate is Rick Scott, who failed miserably in the 2022 midterms, but is an actual conservative. So I don't know. Weigh those pros and cons.
I think everybody sucks.
I agree. I mean, I think I would rather Rick Scott than John Thune, just from a policy standpoint. And Rick Scott was a great governor of Florida, by the way. So if he can bring some of that to the Senate, I'll be on board with that. But I say all this to say that someone who would really be a great leader of the Republicans in the Senate, say a Rand Paul or a Mike Lee.
I would say Mike Lee. Mike Lee would be
excellent. Even a Ted Cruz or Marco Rubio would never get approved by the uniparty establishment. That's just how it goes.
Yeah.
And that's why we always get fucked. Because the Democrats don't have this problem.
No.
They put their most radical, hardcore idealists in the jobs. Look at Hakeem Jeffries.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
They kicked Nancy Pelosi out.
Yeah.
Who, is a fucking crazy lib, but it was a little more pragmatic at times about things, right? She's kind of the old thinking of like, okay, well, we're going to just grease the skids on both sides kind of thing. Put him in the job, he's a fucking psychopath. He's basically the squad, just a little less flamboyant about
it.
And then the Democrats on the other side in the Senate, Chuck Schumer. I mean, Chuck Schumer's ruthless.
Yeah.
Say what you will about him.
Yeah.
Fucking sucks.
Yeah.
Hate the guy. But he's ruthless about liberal causes.
He's very much like Harry Reid in keeping that caucus together.
Yes.
He has an iron grip. And I also think that he's also the only person who could do it.
Sure.
I mean, if you look at any Democrat, there's no Democrat who could
beat the Senate. I agree. Democrats, he kind of has the Mitch McConnell syndrome a little bit,
too.
He does, on that side.
He
we'll see. And he's getting old. He's getting really old. So, we always just get screwed on this stuff. And it's like, guys, if we're ever going to have a hope of actually saving the country here.
Let's drop the country club prerequisites here. You know, like the whole, like, you know, Cornyn, I've been here so X amount of years, therefore everyone knows on the street that I'm the successor to McConnell. How about about we have...
Kiss my ass.
Yeah. Especially when you try to, you know, you side with the Democrats on gun shit.
Oh, yeah.
That alone. Like, if that's how you're going to be as the, you know, the number two in the Senate, I don't want you even near that leadership.
Believe me, I am prepared to fight him till the last breath in that leadership fight when it comes down to it. But we have to elect some solid conservatives here, take back the Senate, right? Yeah. We're looking very good in Montana.
Mr. Tester going down.
Let's hope. Knock on wood.
Let's hope.
Tim Sheehy.
Say a few no Venus.
Tim Sheehy's a great candidate out there. He's looking very good. I think he's going to win that race, especially in the presidential year. You look at Ohio, Bernie Moreno, right there in that race against Sherrod Brown, who sucks. So to replace one of the most liberal members of the Senate with a solid conservative would be a huge win for us. And then everywhere else, the Senate map's kind of safe races.
Yeah.
So, Arizona, we should take that seat, but Kerry Lake is going to Kerry Lake. And, you know, whether you like Kerry Lake or not.
Kristen Sinema kind of fucked us with that, with her dropping out.
Sure, I agree. Whether you like Kerry Lake or not, and I do like her personally, I just don't think she's a great candidate. There's just something that doesn't click there. And so now I think, this is going to be like the third winnable race that she was for. She's just got to go.
Yeah.
Like, go do something else in the conservative movement. I think you're great. You know, I think your policies are great. But it just doesn't translate into votes.
Yeah.
And we've seen that happen a lot.
But agreed. But it is kind of like the seventh circle of hell in a sense because...
Arizona's fucked.
I think Arizona Republicans do like her a lot.
Yeah.
So if she keeps running, and she's young, if she keeps running for shit,
yeah,
in primary, I think she's gonna win.
I think if she loses this time, she's not gonna run again.
Yeah.
Maybe she'll run for a House seat if something opens up next time, But
I can see her doing that. Yeah.
But the statewide races ain't going to work. Yeah,
she does not.
Maybe she pulls off a surprise, shocking victory. Yeah. I would love that. I'd love nothing more because the Democrat, Ruben Gallego.
Is nuts.
Fucking he's horrible.
He's basically like illegals are us. If you want to talk about immigration. Well, but
look at his last name.
I know, right? I didn't want
to. I'll say it.
Okay, I'll say it. But unfortunately, though, Arizona independents just do not like her.
Yeah.
So I mean, that's yep. what gives Gallego that 6 to 7 point edge.
Yep.
Might even be 8.
No, I think it's more like 3 to 4. Right
three
now.
To four.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because Trump's consistently.
Oh, he's on the ballot. I forgot about yeah.
And Trump is consistently showing strong in Arizona, which is a good sign. And we're going to talk more about some of these polls in a minute, but. So there's a coattail effect there. Yeah. And that's the same reason I feel really positively about Bernie Moreno. Even though the polls show him either even or down 1 to 2, I just simply do not believe that Trump is going to win Ohio by 10 to 12, which is what he's going to win it by. Yeah. Take that to the bank.
Yeah, Ohio's a red state now.
And then Bernie Moreno is going to lose. I don't see the 12-point crossover. You know, if it was Trump up 5, sure, I could see him losing by a few points. I just simply don't see it. And Bernie Moreno... It has the same exact poll numbers right now that J.D. Vance had when J.D. Vance won his race. And I think J.D. won by 5.
Yeah.
So.
It was a healthy win.
Yeah. So we, of course, will keep you apprised on any movement in the Senate races.
And notice how Sherrod doesn't want any national Democrats coming to his state.
No.
Stay away from me.
Definitely not.
Stay away.
But those are really the contested. You know, we have some races up in Wisconsin and Michigan. Those seem a little further out of reach. But we'll see. It all really depends on how Trump does, too, as far as the down ballots.
Is one of them he spoke at the convention. He's the veteran that had...
Eric Hovde?
Yeah.
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 No. Are you thinking of Sam Brown
Sam
in Nevada?
Brown. Yeah.
Yeah. Who got, I think, hit by an IED. Yeah. You know, I'd love for Sam Brown to win.
Yeah.
I just don't
He's actually running a pretty decent campaign out
I just
there.
Don't know that I'd see him beating Jackie Rosen.
So beautiful.
You know, she sucks, but she has a good machine. You know, a lot of this, once you get in...
Yeah.
That machine entrenches, and this is so true in
so
many states.
When you find the right people in Vegas, you're going to be there forever.
Yeah.
Look at Harry Reid.
but but Trump is competing in Nevada.
Yeah.
So, we'll see. Okay, let's get some 2024 news here. Wrap up today's show.
Yeah,
of course, everyone knows by now Trump's New York sentencing date was moved until after the election. It was actually supposed to be a week from today on September 18th. However, it is now moved to November 26th, just 2 days before Thanksgiving. In this letter, Judge Merchan, who is a fucking corrupt-ass piece of shit, and whose daughter made $90 million recently from Democrats, decided to move the Trump sentencing to not interfere with the election. Well, I think he got the call from the higher-ups that said, you cannot give this guy a jail sentence right now because his numbers will go up 5 fucking points. So move that shit back.
If you do this, Trump wins New York.
I don't know about that, but you win the election. That's an interesting dynamic you have there. Now, raising the stakes even further, because if Trump wins, there's zero chance he's going to be sentenced to jail. If Trump loses,
they're going to send him
to jail. I mean, that's just...
You kidding me?
Yeah.
They're going to refurbish Alcatraz and send him there.
Yeah, wouldn't be surprised. Hunter Biden... Well, his tax evasion case took an interesting turn, tax fraud, evasion, both, I think, took an interesting turn last week when on the day of the trial starting, he showed up to court and says, I want a plea deal.
Everything that everyone said about me for 3 years, it's absolutely
true.
Absolutely true.
Well, there was multiple levels to this. One was they did not want a trial airing out all this dirty laundry in the last 2 months of an election. Also, they didn't... You know, want the penalty to be levied too large.
That's right.
Because the rumor here,
it's going to dip into Joey's retirement
fund.
Yeah,
very well. At the end of the day, I always have held that Joe Biden's going to pardon Hunter on the day after the election. I think that's a rock solid prediction.
I think so too.
And I think that's what's going to happen now. I think someone relayed the message, or Joe did himself when they were at the beach house for 14 fucking days, and said, take the plea deal, and I'll make sure you don't go to jail, and we'll just get this done with.
Yeah.
And that was the cleanest route, and he took that, and now no trial. What I find most interesting of all, everything that was on that laptop, including child pornography, never levied charges for that.
No.
never faced any consideration.
That Delaware police investigation kind of got suffocated with a pillow.
Yeah, well, just like the Biden diary, which was proven to be true, of Joe inappropriately showering with what's her name?
Ashley, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. But then the FBI threw the people who had the fucking journal in jail.
Very interesting. Huh.
Yeah, right? The Romanian cash?
Yeah. So, you know, looking at the polls here, you know, I always say to everybody, polls are a trailing indicator of a snapshot of the past.
Yeah.
Okay? To wait to see what happened with the debate, we got to wait at least a week, if not 10 days, maybe even more, right, for that to reflect. The polls generally have a Democrat-skewed sample, okay? You know, the electorate didn't change from R+2 to 4.
To R+6.
No, you mean...
I mean D+6.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah. That just doesn't, you know, that's not how it works, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, you switched out the candidate. There might be a little more enthusiasm, although we're back to the lead of the enthusiasm, by the way.
Well, according to Joy Reid on MSNBC, because, you know, some kids told her that, you know, they know who Kamala is, so everything's changed.
Well, you know, and when you have a New York Times national popular vote poll come out that shows Trump up 1 with the Democrat sample,
that's a problem.
Huh. Problem for them, yeah. And they've been fading in the odds lately. The betting odds yesterday jumped a little bit for Kamala because of the buzz about the debate. Although, as of the recording of this podcast, Trump now back in the lead on the betting markets.
All right.
You have Nate Silver's forecast, which the Democrats have been hitting very hard because they don't like what it says. He has Trump at about a 60 to 64% chance of an electoral college victory. And you look at the swing states, I mean, Trump is basically in a good position in most swing states. So this was all pre-debate, Nate Silver's model. I don't think he's released the one post-debate
here.
No.
And he admits what you just said, that it's going to take at least 10 days to see the impact of the debate. But, yeah.
So
he's now, like, becoming persona non grata because they don't like his projections.
Yeah. But, I mean, you know, when you look at these polls, in general, Trump is polling between 4 and 6 points better than 2016 and 2020.
Okay. He's polling better than he ever has in the Midwest.
Yes.
Ever.
Yeah.
So.
And so I just find it hard to believe at this point that all, and that's also, by the way, he traditionally outperforms all of the polls.
Yes. Yes.
Now, I don't know if there's an overcorrection occurring here. I don't think there is from looking at these crosstabs and these samples.
No.
So, if you look at state by state across the South, Nevada, I think, is probably the biggest actual toss-up of the South. But we don't actually need Nevada. Let me tell you why.
Mm.
If Trump carries every Republican state, which he's predicted to do, and carries Arizona, Georgia, North Carolina, Pennsylvania, which I think is actually a pretty strong bet at this point, he's president.
Yes.
And that has to be the strategy here to shore up those four, right? Nevada, of course, would be nice to get. We've always been after that a long time. I don't think we've won it since, what, Bush before?
Yeah,
something like that?
Yeah, it's been a while.
But not needed, right? Arizona, Trump is consistently up 2, 3, 4 in polls. You look at Georgia. Georgia got a little closer after Kamala announced, but then reverted kind of back towards its, like, Trump plus two.
And Brian Kemp's machine is going to do its thing.
And Trump was polling, I think, down 4 in Georgia in 2020, but only lost by 0.4 because of Fulton County.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, hearing a very interesting story on the elections in Fulton County. Mm. We might have some more on that for you in the future. Yeah. Working on a little investigation right now on that one. You look at North Carolina, right? Kamala saw a little bump in her propaganda period.
They're salivating because they had her up 3.
Yeah, I don't believe that for a second. I think Trump will win that state by about 1 to 2, probably about the same as he did last time. And then you move to the north. Pennsylvania is the whole ballgame.
Yeah, it is.
If Trump wins Pennsylvania, it's very unlikely that he would have lost any of the states that we just mentioned. And then that makes him president. And polls in Pennsylvania show tie, Trump plus 1, Kamala plus 1, Trump plus 2, Kamala plus 2. In that range, remember, the polls in 2020 had Biden plus 4 to 5 in Pennsylvania, but yet Trump only lost, air quote, by, I think, less than 2. I think it was like 1.1 maybe.
Yeah.
Something like that. And he was only really like 50,000 votes at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe 40. Also not accounted in those polls is the Amish, which are heavy for Trump. I mean, all the signs from the ground in Pennsylvania are that Trump is winning in Pennsylvania. Michigan, Wisconsin, I put a little more towards that even toss-up category. Wisconsin probably a little more leaning towards us. Michigan's always a tough nut to crack. Will the Muslims
stay home?
Yeah, will they stay home? Will they vote for Kamala? Nelly. Who knows? And so then you also have the ballot rulings, which started coming out. We win in North Carolina and Wisconsin removing RFK.
Yeah.
Michigan Supreme Court says, no, RFK, you can't go off the ballot.
Even after they've been trying to get
so by that standard, ballot, Joe Biden should be on the fucking ballot. I mean, that's, you know, that's ridiculous. I have never heard of the fact that...
I quit. Take me off the ballot. No, you must stay. Yeah, I know.
Even, what the fuck is
but,
that?
But also, this comes after they've been trying to get Jill Stein and Cornel West off the ballot. Mm-hmm. So...
yep. Which they actually have to stay on.
I know.
They were.
Yeah.
But they're running.
Yeah. They haven't quit. That was the point. It was just like, wait a minute. Yeah. Wait, what?
And RFK yesterday releasing a great video, I thought, saying, if you want me to help make America great again, make America healthy again, you have to vote for Trump. Doesn't matter what state you're in, vote for Trump. And I think that actually, I feel like, might move more voters than anything that happened in the debate last night. So I also think
people know.
Yeah.
You know, they see the state of their finances. They see their communities. Like, you know, I mean, everyone, it's kind of like anytime Trump runs, everyone makes up their mind months before.
Yeah.
And only this time, the Biden-Harris regime has a record, and it sucks.
I just don't see how these polls can spit out these numbers where it's like, okay, Trump's crushing among Republicans, of course. Crushing among independents, Kamala plus one.
Yeah.
That just doesn't add up math-wise. Yeah. So either we're going to be totally wrong on election night, or, you know, they're going to be totally wrong again, the pollsters. Yeah. Mail-in ballot requests are way down this year, way down, which definitely lessens potential for fraud. Of course, they're going to try.
Oh, I'm waiting for the whole midnight dump of trash bags of ballots.
Yeah.
The way that we saw last time.
But hey, guess what? We just have to get out and vote. You have to talk to your neighbors, talk to your friends, talk to your family. Get out and vote. Get out and volunteer if you can. Donate if you can. You have to fight all the way through here. 55 days to go. That's the whole ballgame. And if we lose, we're just fucked. I mean, that's just, you know, that's...
yeah.
There's no other way of putting it. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. It's over. Probably, you know, I could see a scenario here where we run into a major contested result. You know, if Trump wins, that the Democrats immediately
are going to say stolen election.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You know immediately.
That. I'm waiting.
They will flip that switch like it never existed. And, you know, then the attack on democracy and January 6th and all that, that'll all be in them. Which is their right. That's America. You have the right to contest the election or question the election or want integrity in our elections, right? And that's something that RFK strongly believes too, and he's so right when he talks about this. You know, the Democrats used to be the party of anti-war and real elections and free speech, and this now they're total opposite. They're the authoritarians. They're the police state. They're the no free speech. And, I mean, if Kamala gets in, she's going to come after conservative media.
Well, we're going to jail.
I'm not going to jail.
We're going to jail.
I'm staying in this job if she wins. I'm going to move to Florida and hunker down in my bunker, okay?
The show is over
if Kamala wins, that's for sure.
They'll never take me alive.
Yeah, they'll never take me alive. But there's zero chance this show will exist if Kamala wins, that's for sure. We are not going to be able to say the things that we say and not get arrested by the FBI. But yeah, it's communism versus freedom. And that's, I think, how we have to really frame this election. Yeah. People might say that's exaggeration. I do not think it's an exaggeration one bit. Because everything Kamala's saying right now is all fake lies and bullshit. She doesn't believe in the border wall. You all know that. Also, by the way...
No tax on tips?
She's not going to do that. They need every cent that they can get to send other countries to hate us.
Well, they also got to spend it on these genital mutilation surgeries for the illegals.
Which is a fact.
Yes.
By the way. Yeah, that's one of my favorite John Kennedy lines. We send all this money to these countries who hate us. They should be able to hate us for free. Why are we paying them to hate us? $35 trillion in debt. We're adding a trillion every, I think, 80 days or so. The interest payment is now larger than Social Security at $1.25 trillion a year. And we are, Elon seems to be the only person talking about this. We are rapidly approaching insolvency on that. And, you know, we need to win because not only that, Elon will come in and run an audit of the entire government. I think it's the first time that would ever have been done in history to cut the fat and save money. And we need that desperately, right? Neither party seems particularly interested in stopping the spending problem. We've talked about this.
Yeah.
But at least if we can cut government expenses as far as the amount of employees and the agencies and all that stuff, that would at least take a chunk out of some of our $2 trillion in deficit spending this year.
Yeah.
$2 trillion. Remember when Obama was the first one to cross $1 trillion in deficit spending?
Yeah.
And we thought, oh my God, this is crazy.
$2 trillion.
I mean, the country is not going to be able to exist with that. But, and the Democrats want to spend $10 trillion in the first 100 days.
Can't get serious. And this is where I disagree with Mr. Trump, though.
Yeah,
we can't get serious about this until we tackle entitlement reform. And he swears not to cut a single penny from any benefits or anything. Mm-hmm. And it's just...
I've been saying that for years.
Retirement age needs to be raised and benefits need to be indexed to inflation.
Yeah.
Which is... you will never be elected ever again.
Yeah.
But that is, I mean, that takes away half the unfunded liability right there.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, that's just what happens.
Unfortunately, I think we're going to, okay, not to be brutal, we got to wait for some people to pass away for this thing.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. You know. Yeah. But that's
but it's going to go bankrupt in 10 years, though. So
that's why you have to move the age now, though. Yeah. But anyway.
Yeah.
See, Trump receiving another massive endorsement from the National Fraternal Order of Police, announcing on Friday, of course, that they are supporting President Trump. No shock there. He's the only one who backs the blue and doesn't want to defund the police. Although Kamala now says she does not want to defund the police, but we all know she does.
Does that also mean ICE, too? Because she wants to, remember, read it.
Well, no.
She
now,
wanted to cut ICE.
She wanted to abolish ICE. Now she wants to hire new ICE agents. Yeah.
Extra ICE.
Mm-hmm. Democrats keeping in line with their party of warmongering. Dick Cheney now supporting Kamala Harris, along with his bitch whore daughter. What a shock there. Who else? What was the other one that they... Mitt Romney.
Yeah.
Not a shock there.
It was basically all the losers from, like, the old wing of the party.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yep. Well, they just can't take that they fuck things up so bad that they got thrown to the
curb. George W. Bush being honorable, not endorsing anybody. You know what? I'd rather take that.
Oh, I agree.
Honestly,
I agree.
Like,
you know, I mean,
I can see how both candidates aren't his style. So whatever. He's like, I'm just gonna keep my mouth shut.
There was many. He just wants to paint his shit on his ranch.
Yeah,
There's many problems with the Bush presidency, but I do respect him not going full fucking Allahu Akbar on his party.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, Dick Cheney. I mean, what a disgrace that is. Among many things that Dick Cheney did, but this, I feel like, is the worst of all of them.
I you know, all the torture communism.
And all that shit.
I fought communism all my life, but now I'm going to vote for the communists because Orange Man bad. I'm like, that's not reason.
That's exactly what he did.
Yeah.
He started in the Reagan administration fighting the actual communists.
With Rummy.
And now, with Rumsfeld, And now he is supporting a communist to be, air quote, democratically elected in the United States. Reagan rolling over his grave.
All these no labels, like, you know, Mark McKinnon types, like, I just don't get it.
Yeah. It's
is really it because you can't, like, get work?
Yeah.
Is that what that is?
I just don't know what it is. I really don't.
Because you know, sure as fuck, any MAGA candidate ain't hiring these guys to give them advice. So it's like, what are they doing?
Not Dick Cheney doesn't need the money.
Yeah, Dick Cheney.
I mean, it's just insane to me what's going on. Okay, we have the Biden gaffe of the day here. We're running with Biden today because you know Kamala refuses to talk to the press, so there's no opportunity to get any sound bites of her whatsoever. Oh, by the way, she's not a fucking gun owner. Just want to put that out there. That's another thing of hers: gun confiscation.
Yeah,
was way for it. Now says, oh yeah, no, I'm not going to confiscate your guns. I'm a gun owner.
Yeah.
Get the fuck out of here.
Well, as I said last night, cap guns don't count.
Yeah, there's zero chance that she owns a gun. Zero. Negative. Negative.
Is it a toy flintlock musket?
I wish, I you know, man, I wish that Trump would have said, oh, really, Kamala?
What caliber? What,
you know, what gun do you own?
Yeah, what caliber?
I would have loved
to watch that. I assume it's a .22 because you have a .22 caliber mind in a .357 Magnum world.
Nice. Yeah.
To quote the West Wing there.
Or the .22 dicks that she sucked to get her job.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
All right.
Willie Brown.
Yeah, last
being one of them.
Yeah, Willie Brown. Last thing here. Biden gaffe of the day. Take a listen.
My investments, that through my investments, the most significant climate change law ever. And by the way, it is a $369 billion bill. It's called the, we should have named it what it was, but at any rate.
In the theme of Democrats just saying the quiet part out loud, which is really an interesting phenomenon these days.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, it was never about the Inflation Reduction Act. We should have called it the Green New Deal.
Oh, God.
Yeah, thanks, Biden, for the inflation, which, by the way, printed hot again today.
Ugh.
They say, oh, inflation's down. Not if you look at the fucking core CPI, which is really the only thing that people need to survive. I love how they just do that. Yeah. We're going to exclude all the important shit from this measure and cook the books because, as they did with the job numbers, we all know that. It's down. And by that, it's not actually down. It's just the rate of growth has decreased.
But you just
it's still positive.
You just mentioned another point that he probably should have made last night, which is a million jobs that never were created.
Yeah.
The revised never happened.
Definitely.
Nobody wants to ask either of them what happened to the million jobs that you said were created last year.
I know. She won't answer questions.
I know she won't answer questions. Yeah. He'll be like, well, I created those jobs.
All right, well, we're going to wrap up today's show. Of course, if you have any comments about the show, anything you want us to cover, email us, triggered@townhall.com. We love hearing from you. And if you enjoy Triggered and want it uncensored, because of the debate, we have brought back our 60% off deal. Become a Town Hall VIP member at townhallvip.com. Use the promo code FIGHT for 60% off.
Ooh,
get into this exclusive Club of Patriots. This is here only for a few days. Of course, you know what you'll be getting. You'll be directly funding what we're doing here on Triggered. You'll get access to Triggered Uncensored. You'll get all of our VIP members only content, like Matt's VIP columns, Kurt's VIP members only columns, videos, podcasts, Katie's columns. I mean, the list goes on and on. It's so much great conservative content you get. But most importantly, you'll be directly funding what we're doing here to tell the truth. We are the only people in this country telling the truth anymore. The liberal media, you know, cannot be trusted. So, townhallvip.com, use the promo code FIGHT for 60% off. Get into this club. I promise you, money-back guarantee, you will not regret it. No one has ever asked for their money back. We have so many Triggered listeners that are VIPs, and we love all of you, and we thank you for doing that. It's what keeps us going here. It's the only reason that Town Hall Media is able to survive and do the conservative journalism that we do here is because of our VIP members. So, if you can join, we could really use your support. I'd love you forever. I love you anyway, but I'd really love you forever if you become a VIP member. So, of course, if you'd like to reach out again, email us triggered@townhall.com. And we will be back here next Wednesday, September 18th, for another episode of Triggered.
See you then.